The following is message number 6 of the Thanksgiving Weekend Conference, given in Chicago, Illinois, on the morning of December 1st, 2013. Tape code is K13CGC06. General subject is The Mending Ministry of John. Message title is Message 6, Eight Aspects of the Church as the Testimony of Jesus. Scripture reading is Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verses 10 through 13, chapter 19, verses 7 through 9, and verses 14 through 19, chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, and chapter 21, verses 9, 3, and 22.
Blessing and honor and glory be thine, and glory be thine, and glory be thine. Blessing and honor and glory be thine, both now and evermore. Praise Him!
Praise Him! Praise Him! All the saints adore Him. Praise Him! Praise Him! Both now and evermore.
Hallelujah! Blessing and honor
and glory
be thine, and glory be thine, and glory
be thine.
Blessing and honor
and glory
be thine, now and evermore. Praise Him! So good to be together this weekend, to be blending. Blending, blending, hallelujah. Blending, blending, hallelujah. Blending, blending, hallelujah. Yes, blending is the way. Well, brothers and sisters, we come to the sixth message, the final message of this conference, on the mending ministry of John. Praise the Lord for the mending ministry of John. Oh, hallelujah, this wonderful Christ, this wonderful triune God has been processed, He's been consummated, He's become the wonderful, all-inclusive, life-giving, sevenfold intensified Spirit. Oh, to be our life. And by His being our life, so much gets carried out. It's so good, as Brother Ron pointed out, Brother Ed emphasized it again last night, this matter of the mending ministry of life is not just a superficial thing. Just a little fix here, a little repair there. But I'd like to repeat those words that Ed repeated last night. The mending ministry of life is to fix, is to restore, is to perfect, is to prepare, is to complete, is to add to adjust, to equip, to make suitable, and attune us so that we might be built up together with others. Amen. So this is the mending ministry of John. And brothers and sisters, this morning we come to an awesome message. The eight aspects of the church as the testimony of Jesus. We want to be in the mending ministry of life with this burden, the goal of the mending ministry of the triune God as life is to make us the testimony of Jesus. It's not just for this or for that, but it's to constitute us and to fill us and to unite us and mingle us with our wonderful Jesus Christ. Even incorporate Him, we and He and we, together into oneness so that we could be the genuine living testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, this is a great, great matter. And I'd like to begin like to begin with having you open your Bible, your recovery version, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. And verse 1, the first few verses of verse 1 are tremendous and really help us. Like I told you some time ago, when I first became a Christian, I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, please help me understand the book of Revelation." She said, "Son, don't worry about it. Nobody understands it." But hallelujah! For the ministry of the age, bringing us right away, even to the first five words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the revelation of this wonderful Jesus Christ, with the burden that this one who's revealed would be definitely and clearly testified. He would be testified. Let's read verse 2 together. Let's read verse 2 together with strong spirit. Who testified the word of God
and the testimony of Jesus Christ, even all that he saw.
And let's read verse 9 together of the same chapter. Okay, together, go. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom, was on the island called Patmos
because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus.
I don't mean it in a joking way, but brothers and sisters, we're on the island called Illinois. We're not here just for a nice little conference, and then we say goodbye, see you next time. We're here for the word of God.
Amen.
And for the testimony of Jesus. And the footnotes help us to realize the Word of God is just Christ Himself who's describing, explaining, and expressing God. And the testimony of Jesus is the church expressing Him, testifying Him. When people see the church, they see Jesus living again on this earth in His divinely enriched humanity. I want us all just to appreciate a couple of sentences from the footnotes. Look at footnote 1-1, second paragraph, the first sentence. The whole Bible reveals Christ, the book of Revelation, especially as the conclusion, completion, and consummation of the whole Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Apparently, there's many, 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 many things in the book of Revelation, but actually, it's a revelation of this most wonderful person in the universe. Now, take a look at footnote 2-1, the first sentence. On the one hand, this book gives us the revelation of Christ. And on the other hand, it shows us the testimony of Jesus, which is the church. It presents to us the revealed Christ and the testifying church. Hallelujah for the revealed Christ and the testifying church. And then, brothers and sisters, the last sentence of 2-1, footnote 2-1, this testimony of Jesus is the spirit, the substance, the disposition, and the characteristic, and even it's added in chapter 19, verse 10, that it's also the reality of the prophecy of this book. And actually, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit, reality, substance, disposition, characteristic of the prophecy, and is the burden of the whole Bible. So, brothers and sisters, let's pick up the burden of the whole Bible and the burden of this conference. The mending ministry of John has a goal, has a burden, and that burden is the testimony of Jesus. This is so precious. Look at the next little paragraph under footnote 2:1. Christ is the witness of God, the testimony, and the expression of God. Anybody who met Jesus Christ, they met God. God was expressed, God was testified, and God was represented. The church is the testimony and the expression of Christ. As such, the church is the reproduction of the testimony and the expression of God in Christ. So this, I believe this utterance is a great help to bring us into an appreciation of this precious matter of the testimony of Jesus, which is the goal and the burden of the mending ministry of John. Brothers and sisters, I still want to take a few more minutes as an opening word related to this matter. We have the eight aspects of the church of the testimony of Jesus, and we'll get into all these eight aspects. But I want to bring out how important this burden is, how important this goal is. The spirit of the prophecy, the reality, the characteristic, the disposition, the essence of this prophecy, the burden is the testimony of Jesus. The goal of this conference is to coordinate with the Lord and to cooperate with the Lord and with each other, that the Lord would gain and bring forth and build us up to be the testimony of Jesus. This is the burden of the whole Bible. This is the final book and the final utterance of the mending ministry of John. Brothers and sisters, this is the burden of the whole Bible. The Lord wants His testimony. Jesus Christ is the testimony of God. Now this Christ, who is the very embodiment of God, the testimony of God, needs to be testified for God's glory, the enemy's shame, and for the praise to the whole universe, the good news to the whole universe. Well, I'd like to just go through real quick, saints, to help us appreciate how great this burden is. In the book of Genesis, when God created man, verse 26, chapter 1, 26, He created us in His image, after His likeness, and that we would have, that man would have dominion. For he created man in His image, according to His likeness, that man would have dominion. So this shows the Lord's burden was that man would be His expression and man would be His representative to join Him in acquiring dominion on this earth. Man in creation was being unveiled as the key to coordinate with God and to be one with God for His testimony, His expression, and His dominion. This is Genesis. Then in Exodus, brothers and sisters, the goal of the Exodus is not just the children of Israel getting out of Egypt, going through the Red Sea, etc., spending time in the wilderness. The goal was to get into the good land to really enjoy Christ and to be builded up. And the burden of Exodus is related to the tabernacle with the ark. And when you read many, many verses in Exodus, the ark, which is a type of Jesus Christ, is called the ark of the testimony. And the tabernacle surrounding the ark in the Holy of Holies, made out of the same material, was called the tabernacle of the testimony, to be the enlargement, the expansion, the increase of the ark. So this is another. The second book of the Bible makes it clear. The burden on the Lord's heart is His testimony. Jesus Christ is the testimony of God, the expression of God. But the church is needed. The body is needed to be the testimony of Jesus. And this is for God's glory and the enemy's shame. In Matthew, I'll just jump now. But in Matthew, brothers and sisters, I just really touched. In Matthew 16, eventually the Lord said to the disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter at least said something proper at that time. He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's all shout that. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then right away the Lord said, now this is my wording, he said, "I will build my testimony, my church. I will build my church," which is his testimony. That's his burden. Right away, as soon as Peter recognized who he was, the Lord's desire was that he would be one with him for his heart's desire, and that was his testimony. His testimony. Then in chapter 24 of Matthew, brothers and sisters, again, I appreciate how the disciples, went up with Jesus to the Mount of Olives and sat down with him, and they're just asking him, "Please, please show us some signs of your coming." And he did. He gave many, many indicators, and two chapters, Matthew 24 and 25. But verse 14 of 24 is a treasure, where he said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the entire inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Brothers and sisters, this conference is not just to have a nice little conference. We want to be genuinely in the mending ministry of John with the burden of this ministry to raise up and to become the Lord's adequate and sufficient testimony so the end could come. Amen. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And brothers and sisters, in the mending ministry of John, we touched the first three messages, John, the book of John. And what's the deepest prayer in the whole Bible? John 17. And he's praying, "Oh Father," three times, that the believers, they would be one, even as you and I are one. That there'd be a convincing testimony, that the world may believe that you've sent me. And Father, they may be one, that the world may know that you have sent me. The deepest prayer in the whole Bible was uttered with the burden of the testimony of Jesus. That was the burden. So brothers and sisters, we're not here in a light, superficial way. We are here for the testimony of Jesus. This is the spirit, the reality, the substance, the characteristic, the essence of the prophecy. This is the burden on the Lord's heart. This is the goal of the mending ministry of John. So, brothers and sisters, this message is a great, great help to us. We want to see these eight aspects of the church as the testimony of Jesus. And I hope that even just in a simple way, we could all memorize these eight aspects of the church as the testimony of Jesus. We'll see the first, that the church is the seven golden lampstands. And then secondly, the church is the great multitude. And thirdly, the church is the woman with a stronger part, the man-child. And fourth, the church is the first fruits of the whole harvest. And fifth, the church is the overcomers on the glassy sea. And then next, the church is the bride. And then seventh, the church is the bridal army. And last, brothers and sisters, the church at the last aspect is the consummation of the church, the New Jerusalem, where he and we and he have become absolutely united, mingled, and incorporated in the highest, holiest intimacy and ecstasy for eternity. This is the testimony of Jesus with the eight aspects seen in the church. So, the burden of this message, brothers and sisters, here's a, I like to put it this way. How about we exercise concerning three things? Three things. Number one, I want to see this vision. This vision of the eight aspects of the church as the testimony of Jesus. So number one, I want to see. Lord, I want to see this vision. Number two, based upon Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, the church, the Lord, the Spirit is speaking to the church in Ephesus. And he's speaking to them. And this principle of first mention, this is the first speaking to the seven churches. This is a foundational speaking that can never be dropped. And he said to them, you have many, you know, there's out this good characteristic, this thing, but I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. And then he says, repent! Repent. Do the first works. Repent means love me with the first love and give me the first place in everything that you do. Everything that you do. So, he said, otherwise, the lampstand, which is the testimony of Jesus, may be removed. You'll lose your testimony. So, brothers and sisters, number one, we want to see. We need to see the vision. We need to see this vision of the eight aspects of the church as the testimony of Jesus. Number two, we want to be genuinely in this vision, cooperating with the Lord to be the testimony by loving the Lord with the first love. And then in verse 7 of chapter 2, what does it say? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, I'll give him to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. So the Lord's burden is we would love him with the first love and enjoy him, the secret. Everybody that would like to enjoy Christ more as the tree of life, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody that would like to be in this awesome mending ministry of life every day, say amen.
Amen.
The key is to love him with the first love. And then we can be constituted with him, united with him, built up with him and with one another to be the genuine testimony of Jesus. So the first thing we want to see out of the burden in this message, we would see the vision of the eight aspects of the testimony of Jesus. Number two, we would love him with the first love. And the first love does not mean I loved him much better 2 years ago. It means that right now, give him the preeminence. Right now, love him with the first love and give him the first place now in everything of our life. Practice to give him the preeminence. This will keep us in the experience of the mending ministry of life so that we could be builded and constituted with this Christ as life. And we could be His shining golden lampstand. Then the third point, brothers and sisters, first of all, see the vision. Number two, cooperate by loving Him with the first love. And number three, have a fresh consecration to the Lord. Have a fresh consecration to the Lord. What do I mean by that? What am I aiming at, brothers and sisters? I'm thinking of Psalm 110 again. One of the highest psalms, but it's a short psalm. But it begins with Christ and His ascension. And then it says in verse 3, Psalm 110, verse 3, your people will offer themselves willingly. Willingly. The Lord honors us, are coming forward to Him and cooperating with Him willingly. Your people will offer themselves willingly, what's it say then? In the day of your warfare. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything that Satan hates, it's the testimony of Jesus. You know, in Matthew 16, Peter answered, said, "You're the Christ." Then Jesus said, "I will build my testimony, the church." And just a few verses later, the gates of Hades opened up. And Satan, through Peter, was screaming at the Lord. So, there's a battle, brothers and sisters. There's a battle related to this matter of the testimony of Jesus being built up, because when the testimony is adequate, then the end will come. We want to bring the Lord back. We want to be those ending this age. So we want to be seeing this vision, loving the Lord with a first love, and in the day of His warfare, offering ourselves willingly, beginning every morning. We'd be to Him like the dew from the womb of the dawn, refreshing Him. And we would become like a brook in verse 7 of Psalm 110, that He could drink from. He could lift up His head and fight on. Brothers and sisters, this is a battle. But I don't mean by this. Satan hates the testimony of Jesus, but that doesn't mean we should be nervous or scared. No! Satan is a liar! Amen. Jesus is Lord! Amen. Christ is victor! Amen. You know hymn 890, the chorus? Don't ever graduate from singing it. Hallelujah, Christ is victor, where'er you go, that the Lord is still the conqueror over every foe. Our Christ is victor. How about we shout, hallelujah, Christ is victor. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, we need to see this is a warfare. We're in a warfare. We're burdened and one with the Lord for the building up of the testimony of Jesus. Now, saints, let's come to one more point I'd like to touch. What was the prayer that the Lord prayed in Matthew 6? He prayed, "O Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in the heavens." His kingdom coming, His will being done, is the building up of the testimony of Jesus. So that Christ is expressed, God is glorified, and Satan would be defeated because God has a corporate man to cooperate with Him for the dominion over Satan. So, this is the burden. My point is, brothers and sisters, this is the spirit, substance, characteristic, reality, essence of the whole book of Revelation, the concluding word on the mending ministry of John. This is the burden of the whole Bible, is related to Christ and Christ being enlarged, expanded, increased, and testified for the sake of his kingdom and for the sake of his glory. So these three words, we want to see this vision of the eight aspects of the testimony of Jesus. Number two, we want to love him, cooperate with him by loving him with a first love. And number three, every day, consecrate freshly. So I just appreciate, brothers and sisters, I didn't come to Chicago just for me to give a message or for me to be here in a conference. I came for the testimony of Jesus. Amen. We're not here just for this, to the nice little this, that. We're here for the Lord's testimony. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, every time you're not for yourself, but you're for him and his desire, your supply is raised. Your supply goes way up. Everybody that would like to enjoy Christ more, say amen.
Amen.
We are not here for ourselves. Sorry to say, most Christians on the earth today, because they don't see the vision, end up just being here for themselves. But we are here for God's economy, the goal of which is the testimony of Jesus, consummating in the New Jerusalem. Now, brothers and sisters, let's come to this outline, this precious outline. The testimony of Jesus is the seven golden lampstands, divine in nature, shining in darkness, and identical with one another. There's a lot here on these three pages of outlines. So, brothers and sisters, we'll try to go through them pretty quickly, but I just want to be one with the Lord to do my best to help each one be made clear. Okay, these three utterances are tremendous. Divine in nature, shining in darkness, and identical with one another. Now, letter A, the golden lampstand symbolizes not a thing, not a this or that, but the triune God. The Father, as the substance, is embodied in the Son. The gold, the Father as the substance, is embodied in the Son, who's the shape. And the Son as the embodiment, the shape, is expressed through the Spirit. The Spirit is fully realized and expressed as the churches. And the churches are the testimony of Jesus. So the golden lampstands are not just some kind of physical material entity. They are a person. They are a person. They are a person. They are Christ, Jesus Christ, reproduced. And they are the wonderful, life-giving, sevenfold, intensified Spirit reprinted. They're the triune God duplicated and enlarged. This is the church. These are the churches. The churches are the golden lampstands. I like this utterance that our wonderful Christ, who is the very embodiment of God, went through death, entered into resurrection, became the life-giving Spirit, and he's, as the life-giving Spirit, he's like the liquid gold. The liquid gold to come into us as our life supply, our everything, to constitute us with himself, to make us his reproduction and his enlargement to be the seven golden lampstands. So what are the lampstands? They're the reproduction of Christ, the reprint of the Spirit, for the living out of the triune God, for the testimony of Jesus. Number or B, in the divine thought, the golden lampstand is actually a living and growing tree. Wow. You think of a golden lampstand, you just think of this kind of material, physical material stand. But it's a growing tree, a living and growing tree with the calyxes and almond blossoms. And the calyx is like a leafy green bottom below the blossoms. Just full of life. Full of life. Thus the lampstand portrays the triune God embodied in Christ as a living golden tree of resurrection. And what's this tree doing? Growing. This is an ing tree. Growing. Branching. Budding. Blossoming. We could say shining. Standing. In us. Listen. In us. With us. By us. And out of us, as the fruit of the light. This one who is our life is also the light. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Whoa. The more you're full of Christ as life, the more you'll be full of Christ as light. The more you're full of Christ as light, the more you'll be full of Christ as life. This wonderful one who is life is light. So this is the out of us as the fruit of the light. Then look at these last few phrases. They're really tremendous. Which is good in nature, righteous in procedure, and real in expression, so that God may be expressed as the reality in our daily walk. Open your Bible, please, just to Ephesians 5 for a moment. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. These are tremendous verses. How about we all read them together? Everybody that has them, 5, 8, and 9. Go. For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Brothers and sisters, this is good. This is tremendous. And if you get into the footnotes, you realize the goodness is referring to God the Father. The righteousness is referring to God the Son. And then the truth, or the reality, is referring to the Spirit as the Spirit of reality. So, what is the golden lampstand? Let's read that letter B again all together, because this is an awesome utterance. This outline is full of awesome utterances. Go. In the divine thought, the golden lampstand is actually a living tree. With us, by us, and out of us. Praise the Lord! So, brothers and sisters, I just was really touched with Philippians. What did Paul say in Philippians 1:21a? For to me, to live is Christ. This is the lampstand. It's he and we and he, just one. There's the goodness there. There's the righteousness there. There's the reality there. Because we are just absolutely one with and filled with this one who is our life. This is very, very precious, saints. And I was just thinking of Philippians 1:21 says, for to me to live is Christ. But in chapter 4, what does it look like? What does it look like practically? It looks like this wonderful Father who's the goodness, the Son, the righteousness, the Spirit, who's the reality, is constituted into us to the point where he becomes, his divine attributes are exhibited through our human virtues. Philippians 4, especially there's a lot of verses there, but 4:8, Paul said, whatever's true, whatever's dignified, whatever's righteous, whatever's lovely, whatever's well spoken of, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. In other words, this living, growing, budding, blossoming, wonderful triune God is in us to make us his testimony. And this testimony is a reproduction of him, a God-man with a God-man living. True, dignified, righteous, lovely, well spoken of, pure. So, brothers and sisters, it's possible to be the reproduction of this wonderful triune God who is the lampstand, because he is the sevenfold intensified spirit who is within our spirit, and he wants to constitute us with himself. Now we'll see the secret to being the lampstand in reality, shining him out. Okay, let's go to C. To experience the golden lampstands as the testimony of Jesus, the corporate expression of Jesus, we must be filled with the Spirit of Jesus by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus occasionally, once in a while, when you feel good, when the weather's good. No, continually. And to bear the brands of Jesus as brothers and fellow partakers in the tribulation kingdom and endurance in Jesus. Amen. I really appreciated how Brother James ended his message on the consummated spirit and brought out that the Lord didn't come to these disciples who were loaded with problems and all kinds of things. He didn't come into that room in the night of resurrection and just, I'm going to give you these instructions, you guys behave this way and this and that. No, he just came in and just said, peace to you. And breathed into them. He just breathed into them. The Holy Spirit said, receive the holy breath. And indicating that the only person who can be a Christian, the only person who can be an overcomer, is the Spirit who is the breath. So, brothers and sisters, we want to call on the Lord continually. And one of the verses referenced there is Lamentations 3. Lord, hide not your ear at my breathing. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. I had such a good time last night late in this big parking lot. Nobody, it's freezing cold out there. It was late, but just out there I could make all the noise I wanted. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. So good to call on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we want to call on him continually, unceasingly breathe. Ask your neighbor, what's your biggest problem? What'd your neighbor say? Probably he should say, holding my breath. But the key to being the reproduction, the reprint of the triune God of the Spirit is to breathe him by continually calling on him, being filled with him as the Spirit, as the liquid gold, so that we could become his duplication. We could become the testimony of Jesus. So the lampstands are not dead, lifeless, physical, material entities. They are a person who's living, growing, budding, blossoming, standing, shining, increasing, reproducing. May we just call on him unceasingly. So unceasingly pray. Unceasingly breathe. Amen. So we got to sing the chorus of 1083. Jesus, oh what a name.
Oh Lord Jesus, life-giving name. Name victorious, name more glorious, name exalted. Oh what a name. Jesus, strengthening name. Oh Lord Jesus, comforting name.
Name to breathe.
Name to breathe in prayer, calling everywhere. Oh,
Jesus, oh, what? With your neighbor, just call on the Lord two or three times strongly. Oh, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord. Saints, this makes us in reality the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Calling is not just a call. It's to make us the testimony of Jesus. Amen. We're not calling just for ourselves. We're calling because of the burden on His heart that He would be testified by us being filled and constituted with Him. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together with a strong spirit. Go. The testimony of Jesus. To enjoy God's care.
And the next journey, all the spiritual blessings in heaven.
And in Christ.
And
wow, this is a great multitude. Brothers and sisters, if you read chapter 7, verse 9, it says this number. It was in letter A, the great multitude consists of those who have been purchased by blood, by the blood of the Lamb from every nation, tribe, people, tongue, to be the constituents of the church. And it mentions in that verse that you can't number the people. And brothers and sisters, this is this particular aspect of the testimony of Jesus, the church as the testimony, is not referring to a particular group of people. This is referring to all of God's redeemed in a general way. In a general way. And in eternity future, in New Jerusalem, brothers and sisters, how many do you think will be there? How many of us? Well, none of us can say, but my guess is at least a billion. I don't know. I may be wrong. But you consider through all 6,000 years and all the redeemed and many who just barely got saved, just barely got redeemed, eventually after all kinds of perfecting and summer school. We will all be together in eternity future as the totality of God's redeemed. Praise the Lord! This is wonderful. Brothers and sisters, we never want to drop the burden for anybody and everybody to be redeemed all the time. If you really want the Lord to come, Revelation 22:17 says, always have a burden for a sinner to drink. At least they could become a part of the great multitude. Amen. Anyway, look at the last phrase of what we read there, number 2. Shepherding with all the spiritual, the Lamb's shepherding with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies and in Christ that can be enjoyed today. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait to enjoy an eternity future. In the Spirit, we can enjoy these precious blessings today, right now, the first day of December, 2013. This is December 1, isn't it? Yeah, okay, I got it right. Amen. Anyway, brothers and sisters, this is tremendous. Look at B. The Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd us and guide us to the springs, to springs of waters of life. Shepherding includes feeding under the shepherding of Christ. Let's read that little phrase together. I will lack nothing. Go. I will, under the shepherding of Christ, what?
I will lack nothing.
Because of the shepherding of Christ, what?
I will lack nothing.
I will lack nothing. Psalm 23:1. Number 2, we can never improve ourselves. It's like we can't be a Christian, we can't be an overcomer, but hallelujah for the breath. Hallelujah for the Spirit. Hallelujah for this wonderful one who is our shepherd. We can never improve ourselves, and we need a shepherd to feed us all the time. He feeds the lambs. Listen to this utterance, saints. He feeds the lambs with His experience as the Lamb of God, who is on the throne of God and for the house of God. So, brothers and sisters, this means that He feeds us with his experiences. We can live the life because he is our supply. He's our supply to feed us, to be able to pass. Nobody passed through more than he did. And he's able, as the Lamb, to feed us with his experiences so that whatever we face, we can go through. We can go through supplied, shepherded. He feeds us with himself as the wonderful, all-inclusive Spirit to really allow us to become his testimony as part of his redeemed. Okay, I want to read from a book called The Testimony of Jesus, Morning Revival, 76, page 76. Brother Nee, in the collected works of Watchman Nee, he just, I never heard him use the word satisfied and enjoy so much. But I'd like to just read a little bit. He just said, this great multitude, you know, from chapter 7, verse 7, 16, 17, they'll hunger no more. They'll thirst no more. And Jesus said the same thing in John 6, 35. Anyone comes to me, no more hunger, no more thirst. Hallelujah! Neither will the sun beat on them, nor the heat. The Lamb who's in the midst of the throne, he'll shepherd them. And then he'll guide them to springs of waters of life, and eventually God will wipe away every tear. And Brother Nee brings out, there's four blessings here, but it's three that he's really emphasizing. Never hunger anymore. Christ promises that everyone who believes in him will be satisfied and receive a satisfying life. It is not us satisfying ourselves with Christ, but Christ becoming our satisfaction. The world can only satisfy us temporarily. It can only satisfy us for a moment. It cannot satisfy us forever. But the waters, the Lord said, everyone who drinks the water I give him shall by no means thirst forever. Hallelujah! God doesn't say that we can be satisfied only when we reach heaven. You know, most Christians just can't wait to go to heaven. We can be satisfied even today. Today the Lord Jesus can satisfy our heart as much as he will satisfy us on that day in heaven. The Lord said, whoever drinks the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. Once we drink, we're satisfied. This satisfying life can be ours today. Amen. So declare to your neighbor, hallelujah, neighbor, I'm satisfied. So this is the first blessing, is satisfaction. The second is, in spiritual warfare, we have the helmet of salvation. And he said, he brings out, he said, our life is a hidden life. So the Lord shelters us. He said, we're hidden under the wings. And he said, we're like little chickens hidden under the wings of the mother. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So we are sheltered people. First blessing is satisfaction. Second blessing is there's all kinds of bombardment and heat and scorching and burning things, but he's our shelter. Sheltered. And the third one is he's our shepherd. Springs are with God while the river of life flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In other words, we're very close to God. We're right beside him. God leads us to his presence and the Lamb shepherds us. We can never improve ourselves. We need a shepherd to feed us all the time. What a restful enjoyment this is. Today we can enjoy these three blessings. S-S-S. Satisfied, sheltered, shepherded. Amen! This is our wonderful Christ taking care of the great multitude. Amen. So look at the last verse that's under a letter B, number 2. It's Revelation 22:1. What's that chorus? Revelation 22:1, chorus of 1151. Do come, oh, do come, says Spirit and the Bride. Do come, oh, do come, let him that heareth cry. Do come, oh, do come, let him who thirsts and will take freely the water of life.
Satisfied, sheltered, shepherded. Amen. This is our wonderful Christ taking care of his redeemed, the great multitude, and we can enjoy this Christ as our satisfaction, shelter, and our shepherd right now. Right now. Now, saints, we come to the third. The testimony of Jesus is the bright woman representing the whole body of God's redeemed, with her man-child representing the overcomers as the stronger part of God's people. And you hear this is chapter 12. The last section was from chapter 7. Now we go into chapter 12. The people of God who produce the overcomers, the man-child, are full of light, showing that God's overcoming people are light-bearers shining through all generations. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, it says there was this woman in chapter 12, verse 1, and she was in pain. She was travailing because of delivery. And the dragon, the enemy, was there to try to kill that child. But in verse 5 it says, the child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's the stronger part of the woman. Brothers and sisters, we're all part of the woman. But everybody that wants to be part of a stronger part of the woman, say amen.
Amen.
The man child. Well, I like this. The child was caught up to God and to the throne. So, brothers and sisters, let's practice. Let's practice every day, beginning in the morning, many times a day. Let's get caught up to God and to his throne. Every day. That's why I love Revelation 22:1. You know, Spirit and the Bride, and he showed me a river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Every day, let's enjoy this river of water of life so we can be caught up to the throne. Caught up to the throne. To be strengthened. So, brothers and sisters, these overcoming people are light bearers. 6:10 of Song of Songs, it just says, who is this woman? This is the Shulamite, is the reproduction of Solomon. Who is this woman who looks forth like dawn, like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? Wow, this is tremendous. So, brothers and sisters, all these verses here are very precious. Look at John 8:12 says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. How can we become the light of the world? We become the light of the world by enjoying and eating, drinking, and being constituted and filled every day with himself as the shining one, as the life-giving, spirit-shining Christ. The man-child signifies the overcomers who cooperate with Christ to fight against his enemy and usher in God's kingdom. The way to become the man-child is for us to be strengthened into the inner man, to be empowered to experience the riches of Christ, and to be strong through putting on the armor of God by pray-reading the killing word. Brothers and sisters, we can never graduate from Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 6. Be strengthened into the inner man through his Spirit. We want to be strengthened. And Christ could make his home in our hearts through faith. We could be rooted and grounded in love. And brothers and sisters, then it says in verse 18 of chapter 3 of Ephesians, we could be full of strength together. Not just strong personally, but together. How many of you need more strength together? The Lord wants us to be strengthened into the inner man and become full of strength together so that we could be those who are the stronger part of the woman. That's why we need, in principle, we need a vital group living. Brothers and sisters,
Too many of us are just in the church life in a general way, but connected with no one. We need to become strengthened into our inner man, and we need to be full of strength together to apprehend this wonderful Christ and to coordinate with Him and with each other. Now, the last point of this one of the woman and the man-child, let's read that verse together from Romans 12, 11. Go. Ho, ho, ho. Hey, ho. Read it real strongly. Go.
They overcame
Him because of the blood of the Lamb,
and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their
soul life,
even unto death.
Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we've got to sing 1347. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their soul lives unto death. Therefore what? Therefore rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, now Roman numeral 4, the testimony of Jesus is the first fruit signifying the overcomers raptured before the great tribulation, and the harvest signifying the majority of the believers raptured at the end of the great tribulation. At His first coming to the earth, the Lord sowed Himself into His believers, all the believers since that time who have received Him as the seed of life have become God's farm, His crop on the earth. Now, number one, the overcomers as the first ripe ones in God's field will be reaped, raptured before the great tribulation to be first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Pay attention to this. To God and to the Lamb. I'm not just here in Chicago and Schaumburg for me. I'm to God, to the Lamb. We're here for Him, and we're here to be one with Him. The majority of the believers will ripen with the help of the sufferings in the great tribulation and will be reaped at the end of the great tribulation. B, the rapture is not mainly, this is tremendous, not mainly for our enjoyment, but for God's enjoyment. We need to make ourselves ready to be raptured, not for our happiness, but for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Brothers and sisters, that's why we need this last message on the testimony of Jesus. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for His purpose. His need can be met. And brothers and sisters, the Lord becomes much more real, living, and fresh to you when you're a person not here for yourself. Well, we're here for Him and His interest in the day of His warfare with a burden on His heart to gain His bride and to gain His overcoming army. Okay, so it's not mainly for our enjoyment, our happiness, but for His and for the fulfillment of His purpose. The meaning of the rapture is to be taken into the Lord's presence. In order to be taken into the Lord's presence, we need to be in His presence today. So Paul said, "What I do everything," 2 Corinthians 2:10, I do everything in the index of His eyes. That means there was an intimacy, so one with the Lord. Whatever I do, driving, going to the market, go to the hotel, saying hello, whatever I do in the index of His eyes. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We would do this in this intimate union with the Lord, everything we do. This allows us to be ripened. Everybody that wants to grow and to be ripened, and not just to... In other words, everybody that wants to be... the good crop, you know, the Lord reaped, He sowed, but He eventually, that which was, you know, the heart was good, and they were able to become the first fruits. Everybody that wants to be one of the first fruits, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so brothers and sisters, if you want to be a first fruit, then let's go back to Revelation 2:4. Never forget, never stop practicing to give him the first love. You want to ripen? You want to ripen early? You want to be ready? You want to be for the Lord's satisfaction? The basic secret is give him the first and best love. Now see, the meaning of rapture is to be taken into the... Okay, I did see. D, the rapture of the overcomers is for the defeating, is for defeating the enemy and satisfying God. The Lord needs the man-child to fight against the enemy, but he needs the first fruits even more for his satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, what's Genesis 1:26? The Lord needs his expression, so we're in his image. And he needs his dominion to defeat the enemy. So, brothers and sisters, the first fruits, those who ripen early, by loving the Lord with the first love, we become one with him to express him for his satisfaction. And we become one with him for the defeating of his enemy for his dominion. Amen. This is wonderful. Brothers and sisters, lovers and fighters. You'll see a lot of these points, lovers and fighters go together. Lovers and fighters. The Lord asks us to be his lovers and his fighters. And I want to just tell you something, brothers and sisters. The best fighters are lovers. The best fighters are lovers. I just tell you what, just simple illustration. I love my wife very much. And if I saw anybody trying to harm her, I'd smash them. There wouldn't be any ands, ifs, or buts. Brothers and sisters, if there's no love, there's no fighting. Oh, I don't care what happens. Anyway, these two really go together, and we'll see a lot of these aspects of the church put loving and fighting together. Amen. To be the Lord's satisfying one for his expression and to be his bride and to be his army to defeat his enemy. Now the testimony of Jesus is the victorious one standing on the glassy sea, signifying the late overcomers who will pass through the great tribulation and overcome Antichrist and the worshiping of Antichrist. The late overcomers sing the song of Moses. Wow. Don't, brothers and sisters, overcomers do a lot of singing. And that doesn't mean you have a good voice, but you can make a joyful noise. Late overcomers sing the song of Moses, indicating God's triumphant judgment over the enemy of his people. And the song of the Lamb, indicating Christ's redemption experienced by God's people in the presence of their enemy. Let's read B together. Go. The late overcomer. Praise the Lord! Brothers and sisters, this book called Testimony of Jesus was Brother Lee speaking in 1975. I can never forget that. And when he got to this matter of overcomers standing on the glassy sea in Revelation 15, woo, it was tremendous. Anyway, I'd like to just read a few sentences just for our appreciation. You know, this is based on the background is Israel coming out of Egypt, passing through the Red Sea, and on the seashore, they are just jubilant. They're going crazy, singing and dancing, rejoicing. And thanking the Lord that all their enemies had been put into the water, they had been put into the death. Okay. Just a few sentences. The Israelites were baptized in the Red Sea, but because they had become old and fleshy in the wilderness, they needed to be baptized in the Jordan. So they needed another one. And so they could be... Likewise, we may have been baptized 10 years ago, but we still may be full of dirt and old things. In the church, there is a glassy sea into which we can jump and be washed. Today, listen to this. Today, the baptistry is an entry for the negative things to go into the lake of fire. Okay, I'll just read a little more so you don't get confused. Okay. He mentions baptism and baptistry many, many, many times. We must not despise the baptistry. It's the best place to send our earthly dirt on the way to the lake of fire. We may also compare the baptistry to the post office. If we feel that we still have some earthly dirt, we should go to the baptistry and mail it to the lake of fire. And then he goes on about this, and he touches the principle of the overcomers standing on the glassy sea in chapter 15. He says, I'm not caring about doctrine when I'm speaking about this. I'm talking about real experience. He said, I've seen many who went into baptism and came out rejoicing, like those who will rejoice on the glassy sea. He said, he was speaking this a lot when I first came into the church life. I got baptized in a Baptist denomination, 1958, something like that. I came in the church life 69. I got baptized again, I think, the first year. And there's no such thing. He says there's no such thing as rebaptism in the Bible. But he said, I'm not caring about doctrine. I'm talking about experience. And I just had a feeling. I ended up getting baptized 4 more times in the recovery. I was so happy to mail all my junk to the lake of fire. Praise the Lord! Kind of like a fresh stand, a fresh consecration. Brothers and sisters, just to give the Lord the fresh ground, to join Him. Be one with Him for the testimony of Jesus. We're not here for anything else. We're not here for anything else. I remember after he shared this 1975, there were only 2 churches in Orange County, Huntington Beach and Anaheim. About 200 of us in Huntington Beach. And we didn't have a meeting hall at that time. We were meeting in the Woman's Club in Costa Mesa next door. And behind the Costa Mesa, behind the Woman's Club was a swimming pool, part of the club. And after the Lord's Day, after this conference, we ended up coming out the back door to the swimming pool. We all ended up baptizing each other. All 200 got baptized. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, every day in reality, we want to be standing on the shore rejoicing, singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Amen. These are the overcomers. Now, the testimony of Jesus is the bride of Christ, the overcomers who are the co-kings of Christ during the millennium. The Lord's recovery is for the preparation of the bride of Christ. Look at what it says in Revelation 19:7. It says, let us rejoice and exult, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. I just appreciate, brothers and sisters, that verse. Let us rejoice and exult. His bride has made herself ready. I just appreciate very much. A big key to preparation is rejoicing and exalting. And we're not here for us, but for His glory. It mentions that in a verse. It's for His glory. It's for His glory. Rejoice and exalt. What does Paul say in Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord occasionally. What's he say?
Always.
Okay, tell your neighbor, rejoice in the Lord always. Then rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. It is better to sing than be sighing. It is better to live than be dying. So let us rejoice evermore. Ultimately, we'll be conformed to be the wonderful Shulamite who is the duplication of Solomon, is the greatest and ultimate figure of the New Jerusalem as the counterpart, the bride of Christ. The Shulamite is likened to the dance of 2 camps or 2 armies. Mahanaim, in the sight of God. This is tremendous, brothers and sisters, about Jacob. After Jacob saw the angels of God, the 2 armies of God, He named the place where he was Mahanaim and divided his wives, children, and possessions into two armies. This is amazing. Jacob was fleeing from Laban, his uncle, who had threatened to, you know, harm him. He was nervous and scared because he's going back to his father's land, and Esau may kill him. So he divided his family, the weak ones, the women, children, all into two camps. So if Esau killed one, at least there'd one who could go on. This is the two armies. The spiritual significance of the two armies is the strong testimony that we more than conquer, we super overcome through him who loved us, according to the principle of the body of Christ. God does not want those who are strong in themselves. He wants only the feeble ones, the weaker ones, the women and the children who are counted worthy to be overcomers. Those who are counted worthy to be overcomers will be the weaker ones who depend on the Lord. What does he say about the church in Philadelphia in Revelation 3:8? You have a little power, kept my word and not denied my name. Well, saints, I just want to read just a little bit from here. This is tremendous. From Morning Revival on the testimony of Jesus. Just a little bit. When we consider how to arrive at the high peak of the revelation of the Song of Songs, we should not trust in ourselves. Paul said, who's weak? And I'm not weak. We're all the weak ones, okay? I'm skipping some sentences. Paul said, it's not of him who wills nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. We may think we can run, but we cannot. It's Christ who can run. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Saints, just do your best to pay attention to these next few sentences. Really good. The day will come, saints, all who are strong in themselves will be disqualified. Those who are counted overcomers will be the weaker ones, the ones who wept with tears saying, Lord, I can't make it. Thank you for releasing all the high peak truths, unveiling to us what we should do. We should be in the Holy of Holies, living within the veil. We should be in oneness with you. You're our dwelling place and you're our dweller. I want to attain to this. I cannot do anything. I'm just a little one, a feeble one. Such a weaker one who depends on the Lord will be counted worthy to be an overcomer. Then he refers to Revelation 3:8, little power. He said, if we are too able and are too full of capacity in doing things, we are finished. Today the Lord is waiting. He's still calling for overcomers. If we say, Lord, I can't overcome, Lord will say, my child, whatever you cannot do, I'll do for you. I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. That's a tremendous verse. I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Amen. So tell your neighbor, neighbor, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Oh, grace. What does grace mean? This is God in Christ as the Spirit coming in to be our life supply, our enjoyment, for our everything, to do what we can. This is the Spirit coming as the breath to be what we cannot be. Grace is just Christ enjoyed by us. Roman numeral 7, the testimony of Jesus is the bridal army who fights together with Christ, the embodiment of God to defeat Antichrist, the embodiment of Satan with his armies. Okay, again you see lovers and fighters, point A and B. A is related to lovers, B is related to fighters. A is Ephesians 5, B is Ephesians, you see when these 2 points put Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 together. Okay, we see the church as the bride and the warrior in these two chapters. Revelation 19, we also have these two aspects. Before Christ descends to earth to deal with Antichrist and the totality of human government, he'll have a wedding. Brothers and sisters, I want to be at that wedding. He'll have a wedding. Uniting his overcomers who have been fighting the battle against God's enemy for years to himself as one entity. Now look at number two. After his wedding, he'll be on a honeymoon. After his wedding, Christ will come with his newly married bride to destroy Antichrist. Whoa! What a honeymoon! To destroy Antichrist, the one, you know, it's the destruction of the enemy, the one who's caused us all the problems through all the years, who with his army will fight against God directly. Amen. Let's read B together with a strong spirit. Amen. Spiritual warfare
for God's dominion, thus fulfilling God's original intention.
Amen. So isn't this good, brothers and sisters? Let's enjoy Christ every day in and as the Word. Exercising our spirit over His Word every day. By the washing of the water in the Word, we become beautiful. We become Mrs. Jesus for His expression. And by this, the killing element of the Word, we become strong with Him to defeat His enemy for His dominion. And you see, Genesis 1:26 is there. This is the fulfillment of His heart's desire from the beginning of creation. Now we come to the last Roman numeral, saints. The goal, the last aspect of the testimony of Jesus, New Jerusalem! Ultimately, the testimony of Jesus is the New Jerusalem as the ultimate consummation of the tabernacle and temple, the eternal divine human incorporation, the eternal building of God and man. We can live out and work out the New Jerusalem as the divine human incorporation by taking the Lord as our abode for us to be His abode. Friends, sisters, this is tremendous. What does John 15 say? It says, look, it just says, abide in me and I in you. Take me as your abode, and then I can take you as your abode, as my abode. And then it says at the end of verse 5, I love that, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. The Lord's really jealous. What is New Jerusalem? New Jerusalem is the uniting, the mingling, and the incorporating of two persons inside of one another. Each taking one another as the abode. We want to practice to live in this abode today. Apart from this union with our Christ in our mingled spirit, we can do nothing. But praise the Lord, staying in this union, we can be His bride. We can be His testimony for His expression and for His dominion. And for His home, for His home. The Lord needs a home. Number one, when we love the Lord Jesus, He manifests Himself to us and the Father comes with Him to make an abode with us for our enjoyment. This abode is a mutual abode in which the triune God abides in us and we abide in Him. Brothers and sisters, never graduate from appreciating John 14:23. How about everybody just turn to that? Let's read that verse. Very practical. This is the mending ministry of John, bringing us into the experience of life in such a precious way. John 14:23. Everybody has it. Go. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
My Father will love him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We love Him. The key, brothers and sisters, to being His abiding in us and us abiding in Him is love. The key is love. New Jerusalem is the ultimate consummation of the divine romance. The Bible is a romance in the most holy sense. So the ultimate consummation of the testimony of Jesus is never forget the romance. And the Lord says, if you love me, you'll be in this union, this intimacy. The key to being in this union is love. Love me. Love me with the first love. Number two, we abide in Christ that he may abide in us by dealing with the constant word in the Scriptures that's outside of us and the present word as the Spirit within us. When we abide in the Lord and let his words abide in us, we're one with him in actuality. There's a lot to say here, but because of time, I can't. But Brother Andrew, just touching, you know, we don't want to be those who are just kind of haphazard. 2 weeks, I read the word and I don't read the word. I do this for a little bit. The Lord wants some constancy, some regularity, steadfastness. Eventually, overcomers are not flamboyant and super. They're steadfast, regular, so that we could be those constituted with him in and as and through the Word. Okay. B, the overcoming believers as the constituents of God's building, the New Jerusalem, are signified by jasper and other precious stones. Jasper signifies the appearance of God shining with the glory of God as the light of the New Jerusalem for the expression of God. So God's appearance is jasper. The appearance of the whole city is jasper. That means we have God became man in order to make man God. Not in the Godhead as an object of worship, but in life and nature, element, essence, and expression. So he makes us the same as he is. He's jasper, we're jasper, so that he and we can be his testimony together. The key, too, brothers and sisters, just before chapter 4, verse 3 of Revelation, about the Lord's, the one on the throne being having the appearance of jasper, wow, chapter 4, verse 2 says, immediately I was in spirit. Brothers and sisters, the key to being in these aspects of the testimony of Jesus is to always take care of our spirit. Immediately, I was in spirit. Number two, the precious stones signify the riches of the beauty of Christ in different aspects for the foundation of God's eternal dwelling. By the judging spirit, the burning spirit, and the flowing spirit, the Lord's spirit, we are being transformed by the experiences of the riches of Christ as the God of resurrection gained through sufferings, consuming pressures, and the killing work of the cross. Amen. There's a verse from Isaiah. It says, when the Lord washed away filth, the filth of the daughters of Zion, he washed away by the judging and burning spirit. Brothers and sisters, how many of you still have a bunch of junk inside that needs washed away? We all do. Every day we need the Spirit. He's the judging spirit, the burning spirit, and the flowing spirit to constitute us with himself, to make us the new Jerusalem. Apart from Christ, nothing is new. Everything is old. Only Christ is new. And the ultimate consummation of newness is the new Jerusalem. So, brothers and sisters, every day we want to be those who are through the cross by the Spirit, ministering Christ as life to each other for the building up of this one new man, the body of Christ, consummating in the new Jerusalem. What's John 4:14b? Amen. The water that I give you will become in you a spring, a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Keep drinking me in your spirit as the river of water of life, and we together become the new Jerusalem. Unto eternal life means the consummation is the building, the final aspect of the testimony of Jesus, the new Jerusalem. Saints, let's read number 4 together with a very strong spirit. Go. Process of transformation. Oh, my God. Gracious. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, I want to just end with this. To the praise of the glory of His grace with which He graced us in the Beloved. This is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, to the praise of the glory of His grace, brothers and sisters, with which He graced us in the Beloved. Listen, praise, glory, grace, Beloved. Brothers and sisters, the ultimate issue is the whole universe will be ecstatic with the consummation of God's economy, the New Jerusalem. This will be good news to the whole universe. Jubilee. Amen. This is good news. So the whole universe will be in a state of praise. And praise because why? Glory. God is expressed. And what's the key to God being expressed? Grace. There are people who are enjoying Him, supplied by Him and enjoying Him. And what's the key to enjoying Him? The secret of enjoying Him constantly is love. What's the last verse of Ephesians 6, verse 24? It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all those who love our Lord in incorruptibility. The key to be in grace is to be loving Him with a first love. Never let your love for the Lord drop. Keep our love first. Oh, Lord, I love You. Lord, I love You. We love You more today than any day in our whole life. Brothers and sisters, our love allows us to be those enjoying grace. And this issue's in expression, glory. And the result is the whole universe is in a state of praise because of the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please turn to 1 Corinthians 2, concluding verse, and I'll just sit down then, okay? 2, 9, and 10. It has, as it's written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, things which not come up in man's heart, things which God has prepared for those who love Him. If you look at the footnote, 9:3, to realize, participate in the deep and hidden things God has ordained and prepared for us requires us not only to believe in Him, but also to love Him. To fear God, worship God, and to believe in God are all inadequate. To love Him is the indispensable requirement. To love God means to set our entire being absolutely on Him. Let our entire being be occupied by Him and lost in Him. Brothers and sisters, let's the rest of this day, let's get lost. Let's get lost in Him. Oh, loving Him with the first love. Praise the Lord. May we love Him and, brothers and sisters, be constituted with Him. He brings us into the depths of God, is able to constitute us with Himself and make us the testimony of Jesus, consummating in the New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, this is the goal of the mending ministry of John, is the testimony of Jesus, signified by these eight aspects of the church, consummating in the New Jerusalem. And how does Revelation end? Revelation ends with 22:20 says, behold, I come quickly. Then our response is, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then it ends with grace. Grace. We just need to be those enjoying Him. But the secret of maintaining our joy is love Him with a first love. Love Him with a first love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, one thing that keeps our love first and fresh, one thing that I found is praise. I tell you, sometimes my love is a little weak, but I begin to praise the Lord because praise is connected with giving Christ first place. Praise Him. Give him preeminence. To love the Lord with the first love is to love Him with the best love. Give Him the first place in everything. To love Him and to praise Him are very intimately connected. Amen. Let's sing the last phrase, the last part of 1159, verse 4. Not alone. Not alone, O Lord, do I adore Thee, but with all the saints as Thy dear bride. Quickly come, our love is waiting for Thee, Jesus, Lord. Brothers and sisters, what's waiting for the Lord? Our love. Our love is waiting for Thee. So, brothers and sisters, for how about at this time before the brothers come up and testify? How about the brother? How about just with your neighbor for 30 seconds? Just praise the Lord and love the Lord any way you can.